And it's such a beautiful thing when you think of the creation that God made and the time that God commands us to come out to say, spend time with me, honor me, give glory to me. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And we should rejoice and be glad in it, knowing who our God is and the power that our God has to do all many things. You know, for me, as I come to this time of year, this is the end of a fiscal year in my business, and we think a lot about what we did, what we went through over the last year. Because to contemplate what we've gone through is to have the chance to examine and say, what are the things that are looking good? What are the things that are not looking so good? Where were our successes? Where were our failures? And then to look at the plan for the future. How do we grow as a company, as a group of people? And this year we had some major failures, honestly. We had things that weren't what we would want them to be. And we had some successes. But ultimately, the responsibility comes on you when you look and say, hey, what do we need to do? Where do we need to go? How do we need to adjust? And in everything, in every circumstance, God bless us. And the thing about life is to remember who you are and remember who God is and remember the authority that God has granted. The last time I had a chance to speak, we were talking about the authority that God gives to a husband to be the head of the wife, or a boss to be the head of an employer, or a mother to be a head over her children. And we talked about the relationships and how in this world we can so often look at those relationships and say, you know, well, God must not like women because he makes them submit to men. And you go back to the garden, and that might be true, right? I mean, one of the curses was she was to be under a man. That was one of the things that he pronounced upon them when they sinned. But yet in the beginning, there is something so amazing that as the world would look at this as some kind of weakness to submit, what we find as Christians is in whether you are the one underneath somebody, your boss, your head, or whether you are the head or the boss with someone under your authority, every position is a position of submission to God. Every position is a position of submission to God, either as a husband to love your wife as Christ loved the church, that's submission to Christ to love her as he did. And for the wife to submit to her husband as unto the Lord, the submission is demonstrating to him. You see, the roles are just the roles. We try to make the roles of saying one is better, one is worse. God is saying, no, I'm trying to see, will you obey me? Will you submit, whether you are the head or whether you are the one to submit, or even if you're a peer, if you will esteem the interests of others better than yourself? See, this is the heart and mind of God, who with all the power of the universe, with all the greatness that God has, he humbles himself to consider his creation. See, that's what's amazing. That's what is so hard to understand or comprehend about the love of God, that the love of God is poured out in such amazing ways because of all his might and power, he took it to apply to us who were found in sin and rebellion against him. Isn't that amazing? That when Adam and Eve sinned, Christ was already prophesied to be the Lamb. God was going to demonstrate, even through the sin, how great his love was for us. And that love puts us in awe when we really understand it. When we really contemplate the power and the glory and the majesty of the universe coming in the form of flesh to be among us and laying down his life as a sacrifice. And even when he was reviled, even when they're teasing, well, if you are the Son of God, bring yourself down from the cross. That here he is laying it all out for you and me. The greatness of God. The power of his might and his majesty. And all the power to save every person in this room, every person in this country, every person in this world, and every person who has ever lived and whoever will live, and not only things on earth, but things in heaven, to reconcile all things to himself. Things in heaven and things on earth was in that power and in the power of submission and humility and laying down everything that he had for you and me. What didn't he give up for us? See, that in the core of life, that, my friends, is Christianity. Because when we know, and not just know, but we believe that, it changes everything that goes on in our hearts and in our minds. Everything changes because of who he is. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 146. I'm going to spend our time here in Psalm 146 today. Beautiful Psalm. Psalm 146. In verse 1, hallelujah. Right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how it reads. Hallelujah, O my soul. While I live, I will praise Yah, the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now, is this a man who delights in God? I mean, doesn't it just burst off the page? This is a man who knows God. This is a man who is passionate for God. This is a man who has love for God. He's acquainted with God, and he loves him. Now, ultimately, for you and me to have any success in being who we are to be, it is having a knowledge of God. So many verses in the Bible encourage us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn from your wicked way and seek the Lord. Put your face toward him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God is seeking those who will seek his face. God is seeking. It says in the scripture that God searches. He seeks to know if there's anyone who understands. Anyone. And he's saying, what is it that he's looking to see if they understand? If they understand that they need to seek him. So this is the wisdom of the ages. We could stop the message right here. If we all left and said, the whole purpose, everything, is to seek his face, we've got it. We've got it. You will be on a right course if you seek the Lord God Almighty and all that is in him. For he is God. So he says, while I live, verse 2, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And at the core of our heart, this is where God desires in us. He says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Very interesting in life how often we humanly can transfer our hopes to man. We can hope in ourselves. We can hope in friends, business partners, neighbors. We can hope in athletes, movie stars, politicians, bosses, co-workers. We put trust in different things, in different ways, into different people. The thing is that God made people to be a part of our lives. That's part of the beauty of the unity that comes by the Holy Spirit within us as we believe that we are to be carrying out the work of God in our lives. But in this world, there are so many that can be trusted, and so many will put their hope and trust in those who are ungodly, who do not know God, who do not seek the face of God, and imitate their lives. But he's saying, do not do this. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. And that very day, his plans perish. When you really think about that, how futile is that? To want to hear the ideas of men who don't believe in God. How futile is that to care about what they express if in the very first expression they don't acknowledge God? What is really in there? What is really in the heart? But I want you to notice this. Verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, Yahweh his God. How many of you would like more happiness in your life? All right. How many of you say, I got full happiness. Don't send any more my way. Two people have full happiness. Three. I see a three. Thank you. Three people. Full happiness, no more. All right. So, because I was just wondering, because you know, not as many hands went up as I thought would on the first question. So let me see that again. How many would like more happiness in their lives? All right. You're still, maybe you're just not participating. So, all right. So, abstainers right here in their midst. So, it says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he. Now, here's an interesting thing. I got to listen to a scientist, a Harvard-trained scientist. There's a lot of studies that have been going on over the last many years about happiness. What makes a person happy? Now, a lot of people, when they think about happiness, they think about it in terms of if this happens. If I win the lottery, I'm going to be so happy. If I get that promotion, I'm going to be so happy. If I get to travel to this spot, I'm going to be so happy. We think of it in terms of events. We think of it in terms of a circumstance that if this happens, happiness will occur. And you know what? It does. It does. Happiness occurs when we have events that we look forward to, that we have hope for, that we have expectation. It produces happiness in our lives. And if you look at it and chart it scientifically, I mean, it just goes right up. It just shoots up. And what they find is that as you experience it, you're going to get that euphoria, and then it's just going to start to taper off. And basically, you're going to go back to where you kind of were before. The general scientific study is that happiness events create happiness, but they taper off. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever got a new car? And like, I'm so excited I got my new car. And then like 2 years later, you're like, why did I buy this dump? You know, it's like this thing, it's rusting out, right? It doesn't get good gas mileage. The clutch goes out on it. You have all these experiences and the things that you have joy for and expectations for, and you're so excited about, over time, that joy for them diminishes. But here's something else that they found very interesting in doing these studies. Happiness events in a person's life, in scientifically measuring their lives, it only accounts for about 10% of a person's happiness. It's only about 10% of your happiness. The rest of your happiness comes from what's going on inside. 90% of happiness is about what is going on inside. See, these happiness studies are important because what businesses, corporations, are finding out, and generally they're the ones, universities and corporations, that are studying this, people aren't as happy. People are more depressed. There's more depression medication going out than ever before. We have more stuff and yet more unhappiness. Because we kept thinking that the stuff, my new iPhone, my new iPad, my new gaming console, my big screen TV, that somehow these were going to produce happiness. And you know what? They do. Boop. Fleeting. It comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. True? Amen? Right? If you see this in your life, it comes and it goes. The things that we think will make us happy. Now, you realize how great marketing is in this world, right? Because our lives are being built to be dissatisfied. So we'll do what? We'll work to buy somebody else's stuff. To transfer money to somebody else. What do? They make you unhappy. You know, you have arrived if you drive this car. Really? That's it? Sign me up. I need a new car. No. You can enjoy the car. God gives us things to enjoy. God gives us the blessing. He says in Ecclesiastes, God's gift is he gives you the fruit of your labor to enjoy it. But don't think that the fruit, the car, the house, the big screen TV, the promotion are what are really going to make you happy. You can have all kinds of stuff, be doing all kinds of things, be having all kinds of experiences and not be happy. 90% of happiness is what's going on inside. So when you think about what God is saying here in terms of happiness, read it with me again. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, in this word, there are a lot of promises. We were singing the song, "Just as I am, I come to thee without a plea. I don't have anything. I have your blood. I have your promise. I have what you offer. And it's because your promise, I believe, that's what makes me come to you. To come to God." Now, God has promised to cleanse us. He's promised to help us. He's promised us a resurrection of the dead. He's promised us gifts. He's promised us events. He's promised us changes. He's promised to lift us up. But the promise of all the things we can think about what God can give and what God can do, the greatest promise he gives us is him. He is the great promise. He is the great Lord God Almighty. See, in him we live and we move and we have our being. In God, we have the promise itself. He is the promise. And the things that we can look for and the things that we might strive for, we can look at the things that God gives and we can say, "I want that, God. Give me this. Give me that. Do this. Do that." But happiness is not about seeing where we don't have stuff and that if we get the stuff, we'll find our happiness. It's about saying, right here, right now, I have you. Right here, right now. Right here, right now in my life, sometimes it's meant I don't have much clothes to wear. I don't have a lot of money. I'm getting sued. My business is going bad. My mom died. My dad left. My sister's sick. I lost these friends. See, the thing about trials, tribulations, heartbreak, and heartache is that in the circumstances that can bring us down, make us depressed, bring us low, the promise is right there. There's no substitute for God. There is no substitute for God or the happiness that God brings to your life in your circumstances. It doesn't mean that you don't cry when someone dies, that your heart doesn't ache. No, but what it means is that through the trial, you look to the Lord and he restores what you think can't be restored. He heals what you thought will remain broken. He binds up the thing that got shattered. And the Lord God Almighty, coming into our hearts, coming into our lives, he brings everything. When we see God in our lives and we see the promise, I got everything I need. I have everything I need because God can do as he wills. And whatever he thinks I need, he wants to give. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will give us what we need. But here's what's even more brilliant. The things that we might think we want, things we might think we need, things that we think might make us happy, God can say, "That's not going to make you happy. Don't give it to me then. That'll take you down a bad path. You'll think that's what's your joy. That's not your joy. I'm your joy. Don't give it to me." See, the honesty in life is a stripping away of what is of flesh and of greed and of envy. The things that we saw in the garden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These are things that we strive for, seeking to obtain, thinking that we'll find happiness and satisfaction. And God is saying, stop the nonsense. When will you see? It's me. I am the tree of life. eat of me and live. God is incredible. God is so loving. Look at this. Verse 5 again. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Don't you just love this God? He's the maker of everything. We are here because of his good pleasure. He made you. He made me. He knows you. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He knows exactly who you are and what you're going through. God is not absent. It says in Romans 10, he's near. He's in your heart. He's in your mouth. As near as you want God to be, he's here. He's here. And so he says, whose hope is in God, who made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, when we look at these verses and we see David pouring out his heart, saying, as long as I have a being, if I have consciousness, if I have breath, I'm going to use it to praise you, God. I'm going to use it to praise you and delight in you. You are my joy. You are my praise. You are my song. You are my delight. It is you that I treasure. It is you that I seek. It is you who I want in every way. Because where else will we go for our wisdom? Where else will we go for our counsel? Where else will we go for our comfort? Where else? All else fails but the one who never fails. And what's so awesome about what David is saying is when we come to know him, he is all this stuff and more. He's everything. What do we lack when we have God? You see, if we think that we need something in life to be happy, if we think we need stuff to be satisfied, if we need circumstances to be our way, and then I can be happy, stop the madness. You've been called to live a life not by sight, but by faith. Called to live a life to see things as God proclaims them to be, more than what we might see right now. That's the amazing thing about how he can say in James and in Peter, rejoice in your trials. Rejoice, because it's like getting engaged in the action to say, how do I change and transform you? And what it does is it humbles us to say, come on in. Come on in. Come in more. Come to places you haven't been. Come to places where I've had doors shut in my heart and in my mind, and I didn't really want you to go to that spot. Where maybe you have pain or bitterness or anger or resentment that is just abiding. And God say, no, I'm going to bring it all out. Because all that's doing is producing doubt and distrust in your life toward me. You realize that the healing and the power of Almighty God to come into our lives is to bring with him everything he is to the situation. That's why the grace of God is so amazing. Because what do you need? How can I help you? How can I feed you? How can I clothe you? How can I free you? See, that's what God brings into each person who says, just as I am, to the Lamb of God I come. He can do a work. He will do a work. And our expectation should be in the promise that is God himself. Emmanuel. God with us who dwells in our hearts and in our minds by faith. God with us, who is here to restore and strengthen and to develop us into the image of His Son. What a wonderful testimony of who God is. You see, David is saying, as long as I live, verse 2, I will praise the Lord, sing praises while I have my being. Verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever. I remember being asked a question when I was younger. If God is such a loving, gentle, humble God, why is His first commandment that everyone should bow down and worship Him? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because when we think about it in a human way, if there was a human being on this earth, a leader, a president, somebody that's saying, bow down and worship me, give homage to me, what would we be thinking about? No way, right? I'm not doing it. Why not? Because what we would be thinking about that man is, he's wanting us to worship him, he's wanting us to bow down, to be submissive, to give service to him, for his own gain. Because he wants to feel better about himself. Because he wants purposes to have the power to oppress and to dictate to others. We think about bowing down to a man. Men want us to worship because they want to be better and have the power and have the glory. When God commands us to bow down and worship him, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he's commanding us to do it because of who it will make of us. Who it will make of us. He's commanding it because it's how we come to the image of his Son. To worship him. And when you think about your life going forward from this day, if you think about what's brought you here and you think about your life with God and your relationship with God, I said, if we left with nothing else, but I know I need to seek God, setting our heart, setting our mind to seek God, and knowing that the worship of God, the praise of God, the gazing upon the glory of God is what changes us completely. What we worship, we imitate. Who we worship, we become like. We worship someone on this earth, we become like the someone we worship. We idolize the thoughts of someone on this earth, we idolize and have the thoughts of the person. We think it has merit, we think it has value. God is saying, worship me, because then who will you be? Verse 6. Who keeps truth. Worship one who keeps truth, so that what it evokes from your heart is keeping of truth. Worship a God of honor, and it evokes being honorable. Worship a God who is humble, and evokes humility. Worship a God who executes justice for the oppressed. See, I love that about God. Do you love that about God? He stands up for the oppressed. You know what it does? The more I gaze upon the glory of how he executes justice for the oppressed, I want to execute justice for the oppressed. I want to imitate my Father. I want to be just like him. Because everything about that part of God's character and all of it, I love it. He's awesome. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of imitation. Look it. He gives food to the hungry. Do you love that about God? He gives food to the hungry. I worship him in that, and it makes me want to give food to the hungry. He's so generous of spirit. I want to be generous of spirit. He gives freedom to the prisoners. I love that he gives freedom to prisoners. That's my prayer. We prayed it this morning before we ever got here to meet. That in this room, that if anyone is bound And if anyone is a prisoner to anything in their life, to past sin or sin that you've committed or done against you, to whatever it is that is not forgiven, you'd be free. That you wouldn't be bound by that anymore. That you would be released to know the liberty that is in Jesus Christ. We pray that. We want that for every person that comes in these doors, in this community, in this country, and this world, that God would do a work that releases the prisoners. I love the one that goes and frees prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. I love that God does that. That's really cool. The eyes of the heart and the eyes of the head. That God opens the eyes of the blind. That He is a God that considers and looks and has the power and uses His power to open eyes. He raises those who are bowed down, those who are hurting, those who are humbled. He loves the righteous. Don't you love a good story about righteousness, of goodness, of generosity? The Lord watches over strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, He turns upside down. See, these are all good things, right? These are all things that make God worthy. You could take the power away and just look at the character of God and say, I want to be everything that You are. There's no aspect of who You are I don't want to be. And the thing is that behind all the things that He does is the power to do everything He sets out to accomplish. And that is the power that we look for, the authority as the body of Jesus Christ and as of the church to come to God and say, have Your way. Give me what I need for every circumstance. And then we rest and trust that He will do it. Because the way is not just seeking for an event. It is not just seeking for an experience. It is seeking His face and the promise of living life in Him, abiding in Him. He's always present. He's as near as we want Him to be. By faith, God abides in us. By faith, we receive the sacrifice. By faith, we have been cleansed. By faith, we've been justified and forgiven. By faith, we receive the Holy Spirit of promise. By faith, He will raise us up. By faith, He will grant every gift we need. It says that the Spirit gives gifts as He wills. I believe that. We need to live by that. We know that as we need the gifts, they will come. We know that as we need His help, He comes. Because He's here in us, abiding in us, because by faith we have come and said, I'm yours. I'm yours. So this year, as you think about where your life is going, I want you to look at God and say, how can I be close to You? I know I'm here with You, God. How can I go closer in every way in my life to be more near to You, to understand You and live by faith and not be so distracted by the things of the world, that my happiness would be in You who I trust? I'm going to give you two things to do. Two things to do based on imitating God and based on His instruction. Two simple things. You can do this in probably 15 minutes a day. And if you do it in 15, I guarantee you'll start doing it in 20, and then 30, and then 60, and then you won't know where it began and where it stopped. It's interesting that when they studied the science of happiness, they found there were two prime things that make people really happy. And it's like, what an interesting thing. It's the same thing God said. What makes you happy? First, give thanks. And I'm not just saying thank you, God. I'm saying be specific. Be specific. Start your day specifically thinking, what am I thankful for? I'm thankful that I can open my eyes because I can see what's going on around me, that I can see people, that I can see people in need and people in want, and I can see strangers to help and widows to feed and people to lift up. Thank you that I can see that you give eyesight. You start down a path, and when you give thanks specifically. Thank you for my wife. Thank you that she has been such a treasure. Thank you that she supports me and helps me. Thank you, God, that she is the one that provides such support so that I can pursue dreams in business and dreams to serve you and dreams at church, that she is the backbone behind supporting all of that work. Where would I be if you hadn't granted me my wife to help me in these things? Where would I be if she didn't have the discernment that I lack? Where would I be if she wasn't there to take care of the kids when I'm out at a counseling or I'm in another city consulting and trying to impart some kind of wisdom or help to somebody? Where would I be? So this is the appreciation. And you know what happens when you start to take the things in your life and the people, more importantly, the people in your life, and give God specific thanks, your whole heart starts to become happy because you realize how blessed you are. You realize how wonderful God is. You realize the way He's looking out for you, and you didn't really stop to think about how much till you stopped to think about it. You know, the word thank comes from the old English word think. Because in order to give thanks, you know what you have to do? You have to stop and think about what somebody else did. Doesn't happen naturally. You got to learn this behavior. We're selfish. We just, oh, okay, that happened. But when you think about it, you get appreciation for it. You appreciate it. You're thankful. It produces joy. Scientific studies show the person that does that for 21 days will not only be doing it for the 5 to 10 minutes they ask you to start with, they find that they become more thankful throughout their whole day. And the more thankful they are throughout their whole day, the happier they are throughout their life. Is it any wonder that God said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you? In everything to give thanks? Give thanks. It makes you happier. It makes you delight. It sets you free. Because ultimately, you're demonstrating faith in God and thankfulness to God. And that's awesome. 2, seek ways to do the things that God does. Justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, freedom for prisoners, opening of eyes to the blind, raising up those who are bowed down, loving on the righteous, watching over strangers, relieving the fatherless and the widows, and even undoing the way of wickedness. Find ways to do it. Here's an easy way. How many of you have email? All right. Still some abstainers. How many don't have email? Yeah, abstainers. Easy thing to do. You're thinking about what God has done for you. You're giving thanks. You're giving praise. You're at your emails ready to start your day. And before you read or send one other email, you're just going to write 2 or 3 sentences to some person you know with a note of gratitude, encouragement, comfort. I'm thinking about you. I know what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. And you're just going to send a couple lines. It'll take you 10 minutes tops. Probably most of you fast typers in here, 2 minutes. But if you'll start your day thanking God and you'll start your day with just a little something, thinking about, who should I be thinking about? You're now engaged in the second great commandment. And you're learning the way to blessing and happiness. See, it's really simple, folks. Happiness is much simpler than the world makes it out to be. It has to do with loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it has to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. And in finding opportunities to bless God and thank Him, and finding opportunities to lift up, encourage, comfort, thank, bless other people, you are now finding the genuine way to happiness. Because the genuine way is by the very commandments that God gave that are the summation of all the law and all the prophets that basically say, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I gave you two ways that in 15 minutes, you're well on your way. I ask you to take these things. I would charge you as a pastor that if you're not doing them already, you should be. But just start. Because if you'll start and you'll commit to the days to do it, that you'll make this the first thing you do in your morning, you're changing your whole perspective on the rest of your day. And you're giving yourself into God's hands. Say, well, what else do I need to be seeing God? Who else do I need to be serving? How else can I be like you today? This is the way the world changes. When a people see the love of God and know that we love not because we love Him, but because He first loved us, and we gaze upon the love of God, and we so embrace His love that it evokes love to come back out of us to Him and to other people. Friends, we can live the life that God wants us to with joy and with happiness because of who He is. And what's so awesome is we know the way. Do you want more happiness in your life? Do you want more joy? Do you want more freedom? Do you want more liberty? Do you want more liveliness? Do you want more passion for God? Do you want to pursue Him? Do you want to be like David that says, as long as I have being, I will praise the Lord God Almighty, who gives life and breath to every creature, and whose creatures I will seek to help and encourage and nurture, because it's His way and it's my way, and it's the only way to produce the peace, the joy, and the righteousness of the kingdom of God that will last forever. Let's praise Him.